तत् प्रकाशांश्च तत् शक्ति कृष्ण चैतन्य संज्ञतम्। I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters, the devotees of the Lord, the Lord's incarnations, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Bande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sahodato Gaurodaye Pushpavanto Chitro Sando Tamonato. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. What the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but the effulgence of his body, and the Lord known as the Super Soul is but his localized plenary portion. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, full with six opulences. He is the absolute truth, and no other truth is greater than or equal to him. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appeared from the ocean. May Sri Nityananda Ram be the object of my constant remembrance, Shankarshan, Sheshanaga, and the Vishnus, who lie on the Karuna ocean, Garbha ocean, and the ocean of milk, are his plenary portions, and the portions of his plenary portions. Nidas Kaviraj Goswami. Now I would like to read the first few verses from Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. The first verse reads as follows. Ajanulam vita bhujau kanakatavato sankirtanai kapitaro kamadayatakso Vishvambaro vijabaro yugatarmapalo Vande jagat priyakaro karunavataro. I offer my respectful obeisances to the two fathers of the Sankirtan movement, whose long arms reach to their knees, who are splendid like gold, whose large eyes are lotus flowers, and who are the maintainers of the world, the best of the Brahmins, and the protectors of the Yuga Dharma, who bring happiness to the people of the world and who have come to this place because they are very merciful. Namastrikala satyaya jagannatha suthaya cha satpritya saputraya sakalatraya te namaha. O Lord, who exists eternally in the three phases of time, O son of Jagannath Mishra, O Lord, accompanied by your servants, sons, and wives, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Avatirno sakarunyo, parichano sadishvaro, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nitya, Nando Dvo Bhrataro Bhaje. I worship the two brothers, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Sri Nityananda, the two masters of the spiritual world, who, concealing their true identities, have mercifully descended to this world. Glory to the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful and pure, who is splendid like gold, whose eyes are blossoming lotus flowers, whose six arms reach to his knees, and who is flooded by the nectar of devotional service, dances in many ways. Glory, glory to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna Chaitanya Chandra. Glory, glory to the eternal pure his eternal pure fame. Glory, glory to the servant of him, the master of the worlds. Glory, glory to the dancing of his dear devotees. First, I offer dandavat obeisances to the dear devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Then I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He incarnated in the town of Navadvip, and he is named Vishvambhar. In the Vedas and Puranas, the Lord has firmly declared, worship of my devotees is better than worship of me. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.19.21, the Lord himself declares, Mad bhakta puja vadika sarva bhuteshu manmati. Worshipping my devotees is better than worshipping me directly. That is my opinion. Therefore, I begin by offering respectful obeisances to the devotees. That will bring success to my efforts. I offer respectful obeisances to my worshipable deity, Lord Nityananda Rai, by whose mercy the glory of Lord Chaitanya is manifested in this world. With a thousand mouths, I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Balaram, whose thousand mouths are the home of Lord Krishna's glories. We find in both these most important biographies of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that these two most highly realized, empowered Vaishnavas begin their works by first surrendering their lives with humility and devotion at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Then they offer their obeisances to the spiritual masters, and then to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord can only be understood by his own mercy. And there is no other way. Lord Brahma, who is the original personality within this universe, and the original spiritual master within this universe, he was born from the abdomen of Lord Vishnu upon a beautiful lotus flower. And on that lotus flower, he was bewildered. And with all of his intelligence and all of his great power. He endeavored to understand who he was, where he was, what he was supposed to do, and what was the goal of life. But Krishna did not reveal anything to him. Brahma went down that stem of the lotus, searching and searching and searching. When he saw the waves of that great ocean, the Garbhodak ocean, he became fearful, climbed back to the top of the lotus in a bewildered state. But because of his strong desire, the Lord reciprocated and gave him the instruction that he should perform tapasya. By performing tapasya, he pleased Krishna. By tapasya, we cannot understand what is God. It is only by pleasing Krishna that by his own sweet will, he reveals himself to us. And there is no other way. Not by studying all of the great scriptures, not by giving heaps and heaps of charity, not by chanting millions and billions and trillions of mantras, not by performing the greatest austerities, not by worshipping the deity with the most precision, punctuality, and cleanliness. It is only by the mercy of the Lord, when he reveals himself to us, can we understand his inconceivable transcendental nature. And therefore, the path of bhakti is the supreme of all spiritual paths, because it is the only method by which we can please Krishna and attract his mercy. There is no other way. And the path of bhakti begins by understanding the eternal truth of how the Lord's devotees are more dear to him than his own life. Madbhakta puja bhagavika. Service to my devotee is more dear to me than service to me. By serving the devotees and pleasing the devotees, and the chief of devotees is the spiritual master. When he is satisfied, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutherpi, then Krishna is satisfied. And what pleases the spiritual master? When he sees that we become the servant of the servant of the servants of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explained, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate unitedly to serve the great mission of the Lord and show compassion to the fallen souls. This is the only means by which we can please Krishna. We can go to the holy dham and we can study the very highest literatures describing the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna. And we can somehow or other emotionally come to the state where we are weeping and crying and trembling and rolling on the ground. And we can constantly be engrossed in such subject matters. But through this process, we will never understand what is Krishna. It is only by pleasing Krishna and pleasing his servants that he reveals himself to us. And Srila Prabhupada made it very clear how we could please him. You be the servant of the servant. You remain united. You push forward this great mission of giving Lord Chaitanya's mercy to the fallen souls. And you come together and sincerely chant the holy names of the Lord. You chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day attentively. You follow these four regulative principles and you work together in a mood of humility and dedication to the mission of Guru and Gauranga. In this way, the inconceivable personality of Godhead reveals himself to us by his own sweet will. Although the pastimes of the Lord are very difficult to understand, he appears within this world, and in Bhagavad Gita he explains the reasons. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradhaya sambhavami yuge yuge yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyam janama karma cha mehe divyam evam yoveti tatvatha chatvadeham bhunara janmanaiti mameti sorajana. The Lord comes to this world to reestablish the principles of religion, to protect and attract the hearts of his devotees, and to annihilate the miscreants. In this way he comes millennium after millennium, and one who understands the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearance and activities never ever takes birth again in this material world. In every age, the Lord appears simply to teach us the purest, truest path of transcendental knowledge. We have read Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's explanation of how there were three internal and three external reasons why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this world. The three internal reasons was Krishna, in his own heart, wanted to experience the love of Srimati Radharani, the happiness she derived by serving him and loving him, and what it was about himself that brought about such ecstatic, supreme emotions in the heart of Srimati Radharani. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Brajendra Nandana Kumar, who resides eternally in the topmost of the Vaikuntha planets, Krishna Loka, decided that he would give the love of Vrindavan, he would give the love of Srimati Radharani, the supreme of all devotees, to everyone, freely, profusely, in this material world, through the simple and sublime process of the congregational chanting of the holy names. Simultaneously, it was time for the Yuga Avatar. So the original personality of Godhead, Krishna, made his plan to descend into this earth. First, he sent many of his eternal associates and devotees to prepare the way for him. He sent Srila Madhavendra Puri, who is the very root of the tree of pure devotional service. And he sent Ishwarapuri and Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Adwaitacharya, Chandrasekharacharya, Murari Gupta. He sent the four brothers, Srivas, Sriram, Sripati, and Srinidhi. He sent Haridas Thakur, Paramanandapuri, Keshav Bharati. And then he sent a very special and exalted associate of the name Upendra Mishra, who was from the village of Srihatta. Upendra Mishra had seven illustrious sons. The fifth of these sons was named Jagannath Mishra. This Jagannath Mishra made his residence in the village of Navadvip in order to live on the banks of the holy river Ganga. And he was married to the very mother of the universe, Sachi Devi, who was the daughter of the greatest of all the Brahmins of the time, Srila Nilambar Chakravarti. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi lived together in the holy land of Navadvip. We should understand the situation of Navadvip at the time. Lord Brahma could understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was going to descend there. Therefore, he personally arranged for Navadvip to be so opulent, full of such incredible riches and beauty, like no place else in the world. And Goddess Saraswati, as a servant of the Lord, by her grace, she sent hundreds and thousands, millions of the greatest scholars, the greatest pundits, the most learned people from all the world to reside there. But unfortunately, due to the influence of this age of Kali, Navadvip was filled with materialism. People were so happy and content living in their great riches with their big, big degrees of learning that they became so intoxicated by false pride, prestige, facilities, and sense gratification that nowhere could there be found practically anyone trying to give up material life and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The whole town was filled with people performing rituals to various demigods, making offerings simply for their own material sense gratification. There was big, elaborate pujas to Goddess Durga for material life. And others were worshipping Manasa Devi, the goddess of serpents. And people would spend lavish, huge sums of money for such useless affairs as the weddings and marriages of children, says Vrindavan Das Thakur. They would spend huge amounts of money just for all sorts of materialistic ways of entertainment. People were intoxicated. People would sometimes offer animals and blood to the various devatas. And although there were Chakravartis, Mishras, Bhattacharyas, the highest categories of learned scholars, and there was recitations of Bhagavatams, Upanishads, and scriptures everywhere, nowhere could be found one mention of the word bhakti. Nowhere was there heard the kirtan of the holy name of Krishna. No one had any interest in Harikatha, the beautiful narrations of the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People were simply infatuated and intoxicated by material existence. And the devotees, this broke their hearts. Materialistic people, when they see other people enjoying, they think, oh, this is very nice. But when a devotee of the Lord, who is actually situated in the highest truths, when such a devotee sees someone just wallowing in opulence and wealth and high learning and big, 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 big families, that devotee simply weeps, pitying that person for his condemned condition, forgetting his eternal treasure of love of Krishna. Without Krishna consciousness, this whole world is simply a dreary void. Sunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahe name. The leader of all devotees of the time was Sri Advaita Acharya. He was the avatar of Mahavishnu. And simultaneously, within his body, was the original Sadashiva Mahadev, the destroyer of everything. Vaishnavanam yathashambhu. Advaitacharya, his heart was burning and weeping to see the condition of the people of this world in Kali Yuga. And the four brothers, Srivas Pandit, Sri Ram, Sri Nidhi, Sri Bhati, at their house they were constantly having kirtan and harikatha. And the people of Navadvip, they hated this kirtan. It was such a disturbance to them. They're keeping us all night with this loud chanting. We need good sleep. Why? So we have full energy to make money so that we can enjoy more and more and more. And this Srivas and his brothers, they have become so mad, they have become so crazy that they're chanting so loudly. Why don't they chant silently? Chanting loudly, they will wake Mahavishnu, who is in his yoga sleep, and he will become so angry he will destroy the universe. And what about the king of the Muslims? When he hears that Hindus are chanting the names of God loudly, he will come with his soldiers and he will arrest us all and plunder us and kill us. So before this happens, we should kick this Srivas and his family out of Navadvip. We should break his house to pieces and throw it in the Ganges. We cannot tolerate this. Every day, all the devotees would assemble at Advaitacharya's house. Everywhere around they looked, they only saw materialism and ignorance. They saw no devotion to God. Therefore, they would take shelter at Advaitacharya's house. And in that place, they performed exclusively three activities. They worshipped Krishna. They talked about Krishna. And they loudly chanted the holy names of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard that there are only three businesses that this Krishna consciousness movement has. Nothing else. The Krishna consciousness movement is based on these three principles only. Talking about Krishna, worshipping Krishna, and spreading the glories of the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And if we remain faithful to these three principles, nothing can obstruct the progress of this movement. This movement will not spread because of good management. This movement will not spread because of beautiful, nice, lavish temples. This movement will not spread by any other means of the devotees keeping their lives dedicated to these principles and not allowing anyone to divert our attention from that. By discussing the glories of Krishna, by worshipping Krishna, by chanting the holy names of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's books simply bring us to this point. When we distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, we are teaching the world these three principles. Hari Katha, Hari Puja, and Hari Kirtan. But devotees are never satisfied simply by their own ecstasy. Why? Paradukaduki. Because devotees, they suffer when they see others suffering. Therefore, devotees are always trying to expand the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness to more and more and more people. There is a saying that when materialistic people, they give benediction, is a Bengali saying, may your family expand. May your family get bigger and bigger and bigger. But Srivas Thakur also, he used this benediction, talking about the Vaishnava family. not the seminal family, but the Vaishnavas, the spiritual family. May the family of Vaishnavas get bigger and bigger and bigger. That way more and more people can come out of the suffering of birth and death and experience the love of Krishna. So the devotees were very unhappy hearing insults and blasphemies constantly. And thus, Sri Advaitacharya, he made a vow. His vow was, by his prayers, he would bring the Supreme Lord Krishna down to this earth to deliver everyone by spreading the Sankirtan movement. Sri Advaitacharya began to fast. And throughout the day, in Navadvip Dham, on the banks of the river Ganges, and sometimes in Shantipur, he would worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the holy water of the river Ganges and tulsi leaves, and with tears, tears of love of God and tears of compassion for all souls profusely flowing from his beautiful lotus eyes. And his limbs trembling, he would call out. He would call out for the Lord to appear in this world and give his mercy freely to everyone. And as he cried out for Krishna to appear, he cried with such devotion that his voice penetrated all the layers of material existence. His voice penetrated all the way to the spiritual world. Where it reached the heart of Krishna himself. And thus, by the power of the love and compassion of Sri Advaita Acharya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead made his descent. At that time in Sri Navadvip Dham, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata very much wanted to have children to raise in pure Krishna consciousness. Jagannath Mishra was the avatar of Kashyapa Muni in a previous birth, where he gave birth to Kapiladev. He was Dasarath, where he gave birth to Lord Ram. He was Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna, and his wife, of course, Sachi Mata. As Devahuti, she gave birth to Kapiladev. As Kaushalya, to Ram. As Devaki, to Krishna. As Yashoda, she cared for Krishna. It is that same eternal associate of the Lord who appeared as Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. They had 8 daughters. But each of these 8 daughters died just after their birth, while still in infancy. Therefore, the parents were very sad, and they prayed to the Lord and performed worship, asking the Lord if it was his desire to please grant them a son. And by the Lord's supreme arrangement, a beautiful son appeared within the womb of Sachi Devi. He was a direct expansion of Lord Nityananda Balaram. Just as Lord Balaram appeared in the womb of Devaki to prepare the womb to be a suitable place for his beloved master Krishna. Balaram is always the servant of Krishna. Balaram is the original spiritual master because he is the original servant of the Lord, although he is the Lord himself. It is the duty of the spiritual master to make all arrangements and preparations for Krishna to come within the hearts of his disciples and within the world in general. Lord Nityananda Prabhu is none different than Balaram. He himself expanded as Vishwarup to enter into the womb of Sachi Devi. And on a most auspicious time, Vishwarup was born. He was endowed with all auspicious and virtuous qualities. The mine of the treasure of good characteristics and attributes. And when Vishwarup was born, Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra became so grateful to Krishna that they expanded their worship to their Damodar Shalagram Srila at home. And Srila Prabhupada explained, this is the difference between material worship and spiritual worship. Materialistic people, they worship the Lord when he's in distress, and when they are relieved of their distress, they feel there is no more need for so much worship of the Lord. But a devotee, when the Lord relieves his distress and gives some benediction, out of deep gratitude, the devotee increases his service. And then a wonderful thing took place. The original personality of Godhead, Krishna, in the month of Magh of 1406, Vishakha era, entered into the heart of Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra had a wonderful vision. He saw the entire spiritual world enter into his heart. And then he experienced how that same spiritual abode was transferred from his heart to the heart of Sachi Devi. And then it entered into her womb. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he did not appear like an ordinary living being in this world. Karma-nataiva-netrena. Because of past karma, we enter into a particular type of semen. And the father injects the semen into the mother, and then it goes and it starts to develop in the womb. The Supreme Lord, he simply appeared by his divine grace within the heart and was transferred to the heart of Jagannath Mishra to Sachi Devi. And then the child began to develop within her womb. And Sachi Mata became effulgent, like Goddess Lakshmi. The whole house of Jagannath Mishra became effulgent. And sometimes Sachi Mata, she was astounded. She would hear the beautiful celestial songs of Gandharvas and Apsaras and demigods singing the glories of her son. And sometimes she would see celestial beings in the air offering prayers to the child in her womb. And sometimes Jagannath Mishra, people would just come, mysterious people, and just bring him all kinds of auspicious gifts. The two parents were filled with transcendental bliss. The child remained within the womb of Sachi Devi for 13 full months. And the parents became worried. When will the child be delivered? So they approached Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, who was a very great learned devotee and astrologer. And he explained that very soon this most illustrious of all personalities who is within your womb is going to appear. He is simply waiting for the most auspicious possible moment to come into this world. During the month of Phalgun, in the year of 1407, Shaka era, Lord Brahma and all the devatas were making all arrangements within material nature to welcome the Supreme Master, the Lord of the universe, into this world. It was on the full moon night. Kaviraj Goswami explains, when the spotless moon of Sri Gaurachandra was about to appear, what is the use of a moon with so many spots on it? Thinking like this, the Rahu planet swallowed the moon. It was a full lunar eclipse. And people of India are very afraid of lunar eclipses because of the inauspicious conditions that it could create. So on this particular eclipse, the Lord in the heart of everyone induced everyone to go to the river Ganges and loudly chant the holy names of Krishna. In all directions, nothing could be heard but the names of Krishna being chanted. Even the atheists were chanting the holy names of Krishna. Even the Muslims, upon seeing all the Hindus so loudly chanting and chanting, even they started chanting the holy names of Krishna. And when the devotees headed by Advaitacharya and Srivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur saw this, they were so happy. They were praying to the Lord, may this eclipse never end. May this eclipse go on eternally. May everyone continue for the rest of their lives to be chanting Krishna's holy name. It was at this time the Lord inducing everyone to chant the holy names when the whole world was immersed in Harinam Sankirtan that the Supreme Lord, the essence of all avatars, the most merciful of all incarnations, appeared in this age of Kali Yuga in the beautiful land of Srinavadweep. Lord Gaurachandra appeared from the womb of Sachi Mata, just as the brilliant sun appears in the eastern horizon to dispel all the darkness of ignorance in this age of Kali. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ji! This holy day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, Vrindavan Das Thakur said, is the holiest of all holy days. It is the supreme of all holy days. Gaur Purnima Tithi is worshipped by Brahma and Shiva and Shukadeva and Narada and all the great personalities throughout creation. He explains there are two supremely most auspicious and holy days. And one is the appearance day of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who appeared in the month of Magh during the Shukla Trayodasi. And the other is Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya. And Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur emphatically explains that anyone who celebrates these two festivals and worships the Lord with great sincerity and devotion on these two most holy of all holy days will certainly become an intimate associate of the Lord and join his eternal kirtan of the holy name. Child Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born in Shantipur. Advaitacharya and Haridas Thakur, they just saw so many auspicious signs in the atmosphere. And the devotees, they came to the place of Sachi Mata to perform various rituals for the child. And the devatas, the wives of the demigods, came to offer gifts and benedictions. They were all disguised as Brahmins. The wife of Srivas, Malini, the wife of Chandrasekhar Acharya, Malati, they together came to perform various rites and customs and rituals according to the tradition and offer gifts to the child. And Advaitacharya sent his wife, Sita Thakurani, with wonderful gifts to offer to the child and many blessings. And when Sita saw this beautiful newborn child, she immediately could understand that Gopal of Vrindavan has descended into this world in the form of this beautiful child with a golden complexion. Nilambar Chakravarti was called in to perform the horoscope ceremony. And when he read the child's horoscope, he was simply struck with wonder. He explained that there is a famous saying that someday a Brahmin will become the king of all of Bengal. I believe this child will become the king. He explained that this child is a very treasure house, an ocean of all good qualities and virtues. He will be such a scholar that he will defeat even Brihaspati, the guru of the gods. And he will maintain and nourish all of the universe by his transcendental love. At that time, a very learned Brahmin and devotee came to the place, and he gave his predictions that this child is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. And he will inundate the whole world with love of God through the chanting of the holy name. He will induce everyone to be intoxicated with love of God. He will be the very source of all attraction for the hearts of all devotees. And he began to explain so many things, but he did not explain that this child would take sannyas, because he did not want to cause distress to his parents during this happy moment. But he explained, this child will be dear to the hearts of all in the universe, and he will be so faithful and loving toward his parents and will give them unlimited bliss. And upon hearing the transcendental astrological predictions of these two great souls, there was a wonderful festival where karthals and mridangas and shanais and veenas were being played, and everyone began to dance and chant Krishna's holy name. Little baby, he was very fond of inducing everyone to chant. And the way he did was most wonderful. He would begin to cry. And this child was so beautiful that no one could tolerate seeing him cry. They would be willing to give up their lives a million times in a moment to give one
second of pleasure to this child. That is to the degree that Nimai attracted their love and their hearts and their desire to surrender. So the child would cry. And sometimes they would bring so many gifts and milk and food and everything, but the child continued to cry. The only possible way to pacify this child is when everyone came together and clapped their hands and raised their arms and chanted the glories of the holy name. And when the child heard the holy names being chanted by everyone, he would smile. And when he would cast his smile upon the ladies of Navadvip, it was like showers of nectar falling upon them. Their hearts would just fill with ecstatic love. Everyone loved this baby Nimai more than their own children, more than their own lives. For the first month after the child, according to the custom, he was kept with Sachi Devi and the ladies in a little maternity house slightly away from their home near the banks of the river Ganga. And it is described that especially the ladies of Navadvip were so anxious to protect the child. They were always chanting different protective mantras. But the demigods, they all wanted to have darshan. So they would disguise themselves in so many ways to come. And sometimes they would play tricks. One day, one of the demigods started making noises. And they saw a shadow. And they thought it was a ghost. And everyone began to chant different mantras. Narasingha, Narasingha, Narasingha. And they surrounded the child chanting these Narasingadev mantras. And somebody else called an exorcist, and he came. You demon, you ghost, you will not touch this child. I will keep you away. And others were running and chasing, looking, where is this coming from? And meanwhile, the demigods would just laugh as they were having the beautiful darshan of little Nimai Pandit. Anyways, one day, after the month was finished, Sachi Mata took her bath in the river Ganges and returned to their home. And the little child, he was only about 4 months old at the time, when his mother was busy doing some household chores, he got up and he just broke everything in the house to pieces. And then he lay down and pretended to sleep. And when Sachi Mata came back, she looked and she saw everything in the house was broken. And her little infant baby was laying there sleeping amongst this whole mess. So people were looking around and they came to the conclusion that a demon came to kill the child. But because they chanted proper protective mantras, the demon was not able to harm the child. Therefore, unsuccessful, the demon was so angry that he broke everything in the house to pieces. And while they were discussing like this, little Nimai began to smile. And then came the name-giving ceremony, which is a very, very important function in the traditions of Bengali households. And Neelam. First of all, the ladies, they came together to suggest the name Nimai. Because he was born under the neem tree, and also because the neem tree has certain medicinal effects, and because so many of the children of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi had left their bodies, they were thinking that the name Nimai would protect him from ghosts and spirits and give him long life. So Sachi Devi and her friends named him Nimai. And Nilambar Chakravarti, he explained, this divine personality who has taken birth as your son, he will be the maintainer and the nourisher of all the universe. Therefore, his name should be Vishvambhar. And the other ladies, they were thinking that he looks just like Lord Hari with a golden complexion. So they gave him the name Gaur Hari. These were the three names given. Vishvambhar by his grandfather, Nimai by his mother, and Gaur Hari by the neighborhood ladies. And Jagannath Mishra and others began to call him Gauranga because of his beautiful golden limbs. And the people of Navadvip, out of love for him, they called him Sachi Nandan because he was the beautiful son of Sachi Devi. And others called him Jagannath Sutta. In this way, the Lord, through the hearts of His devotees and associates, revealed so many of His divine eternal names. And during the name-giving ceremony, they also have a particular ritual that they perform to see what the natural characteristics of this child will be. So they put the child on the ground, and in one place close by, they put all sorts of nice sweets and rice and food. And then in another place, they put jewels. And another place, so many little playthings. And another place, money. And in another place, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the little child, who could hardly crawl, they spoke to him and said, "Child, whichever pleases you most, you please come and take it." And immediately the child crawled very quickly right to Srimad Bhagavatam, picked it up and embraced it. Shri Bhagavan Gaur Hari Ki! And everybody, upon seeing this, in ecstatic love, all began to call out, "Hariva!" "This child will be a great scholar of the Srimad Bhagavatam," they said. Others said, "This child will spread the pure devotion of Bhagavatam throughout the world." But still, Lord Chaitanya would perform every day this pastime of crying. And it was so enjoyable that literally, practically 24 hours a day, day and night, the ladies of Navadvip would come together and just wait for the Lord to cry. And as soon as he would cry, they would clap their hands, raise their arms, and sing the beautiful names of Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Sometimes, even before he could walk, he would just be sitting on their laps, on their legs. And as they were chanting, he would raise his arms and begin to move around dancing. And it was so beautiful, so charming to their hearts. Gradually, Nimai began to learn how to walk. The Supreme Absolute Truth, who is the source of all the Purusha avatars, is learning how to walk. He's catching hold of Jagannath Mishra's finger and he's taking him. And he's holding on so tight, knowing if I let go, I will fall. In this way, gradually, his legs, they were tottering and shaking. And soon he became strong enough to walk on his own, to the great pleasure of Sachi and Jagannath Mishra and everyone. And when all the ladies would be having kirtan, he became very restless. He would dance, he would sing, he would run inside and outside of the house, and no one could control him. And when he would run outside of the house, anything he could eat, he would get it. And who could refuse him? He would see people outside, "Give me sandesh," they would give him sandesh. "Give me bananas," and they would give him bananas. And then he'd run inside and the ladies were still having kirtan for his pleasure. And he would distribute the sandesh and bananas to the ladies. The Lord of the universe, who even the greatest yogis and sages and jnanis and devatas are worshipping, is playfully running around and performing seva for the simple ladies of Navadvipa. He is running out to get gifts to bring to them, just to show his love, because they were so anxious to please him through the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name. Shri Gaura Hari Ki. Similarly, if we always come together to chant the holy names for the pleasure of the Lord, Nimai will also bring us the sweetest of all sweets, Krishna Prema, to completely satisfy our hearts for all eternity. One day, Nimai was playing in the courtyard of Jagannath Mishra. And a big, ferocious-looking serpent came into the garden. This was not an ordinary serpent. It was Ananta Shesha, who had come to see the Lord and serve the Lord. When little Nimai saw this big, long, fat snake, he ran and grabbed it with his hand. "Tiny child." And the snake coiled. And as he made nice coils, Nimai laid on top of them. And it was very comfortably sleeping on this serpent. And of course, Ananta Shesha was filled with ecstatic bliss to be performing his eternal service of being the bed of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the parents and the relatives and friends, they did not understand this wonderful leela. And when they saw their beautiful child with a golden complexion laying on this terrible, huge snake, they became filled with fear. They began to cry. They began to call out, "Garuda, Garuda, save this child." There was such a commotion that the snake understood that he was causing too much distress. So by his own free will, he began to slither away. And then Satchimata ran and grabbed her child and brought him back. And they were thinking that this child must be very dear to Lord Vishnu, that he has saved him from this most dangerous predicament. And as they were saying this, Nimai started running to chase and get the snake again. But they ran back and grabbed him and took him home, and he kept running, trying to grab the snake. They brought him back again and again and again. At this time, he started becoming mischievous to perform his wonderful pastimes like Krishna. And he would go into the neighbors' houses, and he would drink their milk, and he would eat their yogurt and butter and ghee and sweets. And if they hid them so he could not find them, he would break all the pots in the house. And sometimes he would pour water in the ears of the sleeping babies and make them cry. And sometimes he would be caught, apprehended by the neighbors, and then with great humility, he would fall at their feet and clutch onto their feet and say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I promise you I will never steal from your house again. Just be merciful to me this one last time." And the neighbors, they would never become angry, because when the Lord would steal from their house, they would simply feel ecstasy and bliss. They loved the child more than their own lives, more than their own children. So naturally they would excuse him. And then he would run to the next house and begin stealing whatever he could. One day Satchimata decorated Nimai with very nice jewels. And he was playing outside of the house, and two very dangerous thieves, they saw this child decorated with jewels. And they were thinking, if we can steal these jewels, we will become wealthy. So they made a plan to kidnap Nimai. And they said, "Oh child, we want to bring you to your home. Please come with us." And they placed Nimai on their shoulders. And they started handing him pieces of sandesh. And he was very happy to accept their offerings and eat the sweetmeats. And meanwhile, they were going through the crowded marketplaces of Navadweep. And to not look suspicious, they kept saying, "Oh child, we will bring you home. We are so nice, we will bring you home." And he was just having a very happy time riding on their shoulders. And meanwhile, back at home, Jagannath, Mishra, Sachidevi, they were looking everywhere. Where is Vishvambar? Where has he gone? The neighbors, the relatives, everyone was searching everywhere. They could not find him. They were in terrible distress. They were worrying. They were crying. Their hairs were standing on end in anxiety. For those of you who are parents, when your child gets lost, you have some idea. But when your child is the supreme, all-attractive personality of Godhead, the separation from him is an ecstasy and simultaneously an agony that cannot be comprehended by a mortal soul. So they were looking, searching, asking, fearing that he was gone, he was lost, he was dead. And meanwhile, the thieves were going very quickly to their secret headquarters, where they would rob and steal from him. But as they were traveling, they finally came
to their hiding place.
They thought. They said, "We have come. This is our abode."
And they took the child off their shoulders. And it happened to be the front courtyard of the house of Jagannath Mishra. And the relatives were all outside looking. And Nimai just ran to his father and jumped in his arms. And Jagannath Mishra began to embrace him with such love, weeping tears, and everyone was so happy celebrating. The Lord has our child has returned. And the thieves, under the influence of the Yogamaya potency, they didn't know where they were or what they were or how they were. What is this? And they were thinking, we'll get caught. So immediately, when they saw that everyone was looking at the child, they ran away as fast as they could. And as they were running, they were thinking, by Durga Devi's mercy, we somehow or other escaped. And meanwhile, the parents were asking Nimai, where were you? What happened? And he said, I got lost. And these two very nice men, they put me on their shoulders and gave me nice sandesh and brought me home. And the family members were thinking, we should reward them. So they got very, very valuable, expensive cloth to give them as a turban, as a gift. But when they looked, they were gone. In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead engaged these thieves, even though they did not know it. They achieved the highest perfection of life because they served the Lord and gave pleasure to the Lord. One day, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, they were just discussing with each other about what wonderful qualities our son has. Who is he? Who could he be? Perhaps he's a great soul, or perhaps he's a demigod, or perhaps he's God. They did not know. So Jagannath Mishra said to Nimai, bring my book. So Nimai ran into the room, and as he was running, they heard ankle bells tinkling. And Jagannath Mishra said to his wife, where is that ankle bells coming from? We do not put ankle bells on Nimai. It was a great mystery. And then Nimai brought the book and gave it to his father and then ran away to play with his friends. And Jagannath Mishra with the book came into the house and he saw a wonderful sight. All over the floor and the walls and the ceiling he saw the footprints of Vishnu. Beautiful, beautiful lotus footprints, more attractive than beauty personified. And in each footprint, he saw all the symbols of Vishnu. The lotus flower, the chakra, the elephant, Goda, and all of, and the fish. So many symbols of Vishnu. And they were struck with wonder. How is this happening in our home? And Jagannath Mishra concluded, I know what happened. Our family deity, the Damodar Shila, he must be having pastimes in our house. And therefore he has put these footprints out of his causeless mercy. So we should celebrate and we should reciprocate Sachi Devi, make sweet rice, nice kheer made with rice and milk and sugar and ghee, and let us offer it to Damodar Shila. And as they were performing this worship, Nimai was watching and smiling. Because in order to preserve the parental affection of his parents' love for him, he covered them so they could not understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On another occasion, Jagannath Mishra had a wonderful dream. I see many people here are having wonderful dreams. In this dream, a very illustrious Brahmin appeared to him and said, Jagannath Mishra, today you chastised your son, Nimai. You should not chastise him. He is not an ordinary living being. He is a very, very exalted personality. You should offer him respect. And Jagannath Mishra, with great affection and love, he spoke to this Brahmin and he said, he may be whoever he is, but as far as I am concerned, he is my son. And I love him as a father. And if I do not teach him how to behave properly, who will teach him? And the Brahmin, seeing the parental affection of Jagannath Mishra, offered him all respect. And Jagannath Mishra came out of that dream and started telling all of his friends about this wonderful, wonderful person that was glorifying his son as being such an exalted spiritual personality. One day, in the house of Jagannath Mishra, a very humble and gentle devotee came to their home. He was a Brahmin, and he carried with him, wherever he went, the beautiful sound of the holy name of Gopal, his worshipable deity. When Jagannath Mishra saw him, just by his qualities, Jagannath Mishra could understand that he is a pure, unalloyed devotee of the Lord. He welcomed him into his home. He gave him a comfortable sitting places and sweet words and water. He worshipped this Brahmin, and he asked him, where are you coming from? The Brahmin said, I have no fixed place of residence. I travel here and there throughout the world, wherever my heart leads me. Jagannath Mishra replied that wherever you go, that place becomes most fortunate. Because within your heart is always being manifested the Supreme Lord Krishna. Now you please kindly accept cooked rice and prasad from our home. The Brahmin, he explained that there was no need, but if it was to make Jagannath Mishra happy, he would cook for Gopal. So Jagannath Mishra and his family cleaned the kitchen very nice and brought all auspicious ingredients. And the Brahmin began to cook with great happiness. After finishing, he took the bhoga and he began to call out the mantra for Gopal to come to accept the love and devotion he had impregnated within this foodstuff. And as he was chanting the mantra, offering the bhoga, to his great surprise, the little child Nimai was standing right over him with a handful of food in his mouth, eating it. And the Brahmin was shocked. Higher, higher! He has spoiled my offering! And Jagannath, Sri Radha Gopinath ki.
The Lord had appeared.
And Jagannath Mishra was so angry that he came running after the child. And the child, smiling and glancing upon everyone, he ran away. And Jagannath Mishra was chasing after him, but he ran very fast. And the Brahmin grabbed the hand of Jagannath Mishra and said, "Don't disturb him. He's only a child. He does not know what is good and what is bad. What will punishing him do?" Jagannath said, "I must teach him." He said, "No, no, please." Jagannath Mishra said, "Then you kindly cook again." He said, "It is Krishna's arrangement. He does not want me to eat today cooked food. Bring me some fruits and vegetables. That is enough." And Jagannath Mishra began with tears of love, began to pray, "Please, please, do not cause us to be great offenders at your lotus feet. Please cook again." So after many appeals, the Brahmin finally agreed. So they cleaned the whole kitchen and brought new bhoga, and the Brahmin cooked. Meanwhile, Jagannath Mishra said, "Guard Nimai, keep him away." So they brought him into another house. And the neighborhood ladies and relatives, they all decided, "We will keep Nimai." And they were playing with him. They asked Nimai, "Why? Why you have taken this food of this Brahmin? You do not even know who he is. He travels everywhere. By eating food from unknown people, you will lose your caste." And Nimai replied that, "I'm a cowherd boy. I always eat food from Brahmins. That is my pastime." In this way, he explained to them the truth, but they could not understand. So they were playing so many games with Nimai. And meanwhile, the Brahmin began his offering again. He started chanting the holy names of Gopal, begging the Lord to come and take this offering. And Nimai, by his bewitching, bewildering potency, he was just jumping around and dancing in so many different ways that the ladies didn't know where he was or where he wasn't. So they didn't even notice he was gone. And as the Brahmin was making the offering, he looked up, and there was Nimai with rice in his hand, eating it with his lotus mouth. And the Brahmin cried out, "Hi, hi! He has spoiled my offering again." And Jagannath Mishra, fuming mad, picked up a stick and began to chase him, and Nimai ran away. Evo! And the Brahmin again held on to Jagannath Mishra, "Please, please, do not hit him. You cannot do this. He is a small child. He does not know. It is Krishna's arrangement. Nothing happens by chance. Everything is orchestrated by the will of the Lord. I hardly ever eat cooked food. I'm usually living in forests, and I eat some roots or some fruits. Today the Lord wants me to eat roots and fruits. He does not want me to eat cooked food. So why should we want? So please just bring me some roots and fruits." And Jagannath Mishra was so much in distress to not satisfy his guest that he was sitting down with his hands, with his head in his hands, in great distress. And everyone in the family was pleading with the Brahmin to cook again. He said, "I will not cook again." At that time, the most enchanting and beautiful form of Vishwarup came into the room.
And he offered his dandavat obeisances at the feet of this Brahman. And when the Brahman saw the beauty of Vishwarup, he was thinking, who is this? Is this your son? And people said, yes, this is the son of Jagannath Mishra. Who could be so fortunate to have a son who is an ocean of spiritual divine qualities? And Vishwarup, who is the very embodiment of proper manners and respect, he addressed the Brahman, that we are so fortunate that you have so mercifully come to bless our home with your darshan, but we are so unfortunate that you will not eat cooked rice in our home. Please, I plead with you, cook once again. The Brahman said, I already cooked twice. Now it's the middle of the night. It's too late to cook again. And Vishwarup said, no, it is not too late to cook again. And then he fell at the Brahman's feet, pleading, please cook again. And then everyone in the house was pleading at his feet, please, please cook again. And the Brahman said, yes, I will cook again. So they cleaned the kitchen and brought more ingredients. And Jagannath Mishra said, what about Nimai? They said, he's fast asleep. He doesn't know what is happening anymore. He is deep asleep. He has forgotten this world. But Jagannath Mishra, with his stick, was still guarding the door that Nimai was of the room. And the Brahman again cooked. And by the power of the Lord's desire, Nidra Devi entered the house and made everyone fall asleep. Everyone was soundly sleeping, and the Brahman was cooking. And he took the offering and began to chant the beautiful mantra for Gopal to accept the offering. And he looked up, and there was little Nimai with the food in his hand, eating it with great delight. And the Brahman saw this. Hi, hi, he has spoiled my offering again. But nobody could hear him because they were sleeping. And Nimai was smiling at him. And he said, my dear Brahman, you are calling me and asking me to eat, and I am coming to accept your offering. Why are you so upset? I am that child, Gopal, you are calling. And then right before the Brahman's eyes, he saw the most wonderful darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nimai's tiny little child form had transformed itself into this form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had a blackish complexion like a Tamil tree. He had a threefold bending form. He had eight arms. In four of his arms were the symbols of Vishnu, the chakra, gada, the padma, and the shankha. And in two of his hands, one was holding a pot of butter, and the other was eating it. And the other two hands were playing a flute. And he saw this child decorated with beautiful jewels, the Vajayantimala, a beautiful garland of forest flowers. Kaustubha Mani was decorating his chest. He saw a beautiful, beautiful yellow dhoti, which was bright like lightning. And on the side of the child, he saw the beautiful kadamba trees of Vrindavan. and he saw the river Jamuna, and he saw the cows of Vrindavan, Surabhi cows, and the gopas, and the gopis, and all the auspicious flowers. He saw the whole abode of Vrindavan surrounding this beautiful child in all directions. He found himself within the spiritual world. In an ecstatic love, he fainted. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead touched him and brought him back to his consciousness. And the Brahman began to offer beautiful prayers of love to the Lord. And the Lord told him, I have shown you this form in your previous births as well. In your last birth, you were also a Brahman chanting the Gopal Mantra. And you came to the house of Nanda Maharaj. And there, in my little form of Gopal Krishna, I also stole your offerings and ate them. You are my eternal associate. And you worship me with love. Therefore, you are more dear to me than my very life. And on this day, I grant you pure unalloyed bhakti. Do not tell anyone that you have seen this beautiful form of mine, or your life will be ruined. I have come in this age of Kali Yuga to give this same ecstatic love to everyone by propagating the congregational chanting of the holy name. This most awesome, inconceivably wonderful form of the Lord disappeared. And he again appeared as little baby Nimai with his transcendental golden complexion. And he jumped up and ran away and went back to sleep.